66 WFAN New York.
All righty, folks, 646 here on this Saturday evening. It's JJ Chad Juszczynski keeping you company right here on the Fan. 877-337-6666. Our next guest is one of the best in the business. You can check him out on The Athletic. You can check him out on the MLB Network. We like him because not only does he give you outstanding baseball coverage, but he's a Syracuse guy. So he's a part of the family, wrote a wonderful book. I have a copy signed at home. Our good pal, the great Jason Stark. Jason, John Juszczynski, how are you, my friend?
JJ, I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Jason, all's good, man. And I got to say, that baseball book that you signed for me, I want to say back in like 2008, 2009, it's still up in the den. So it was a very, very enjoyable read, my man. So I hope another book is coming soon.
Hey, I'm honored. Well, one of these days. I'm a little busy in my day job, though.
Yeah, that is totally understandable, Jason, because it's not like you're sitting around doing nothing. You're very busy. You're on TV. You're writing. So that's great to see. We love your coverage. Let's start with DeGrom, because that's the hot topic here in town. He's got two more years left on his deal. We know it's a wacky and a weird situation. I mean, the fact that Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are still free agents, I mean, enough said. But do you like the fact that, you know, the Mets are kind of playing this game of chicken here with one of the best pitchers in all of baseball? Or do you get the sense that re-upping and re-signing Jacob DeGrom should be their top priority?
JJ, I just don't get this. I really don't. I know that Machado and Harper, I guess, frames everything these days. But this, to me, is fascinating just because of the whole Brody Van Wagon dynamic. You know, in so many ways, Brody was the perfect choice to be the general manager of the Mets. This is one of those areas where his old life and his new life collide, and it gets tricky. You know, if just a few months ago, less than a year ago, he was issuing ultimatums saying the Mets had to extend this guy. And then he gets the gig and he says he wants to talk about extending the guy. Then his agents are told there'll be an offer coming soon, and weeks go by and we haven't had one. It makes no sense. If this is Brody Van Wagner's call, why would this not get done? The fact that there hasn't been an offer sounds to me like it's got to be a Wilpon call, just putting the pieces together, the puzzle.
Totally agree with that, Jason. And you look at the Mets offseason, they've made some nice moves. Don't get me wrong. I like Wilson Ramos behind the plate. I like Jed Lowry. He's always been a favorite of mine. He's a gamer. He's a grinder. I think he'll help the lineup, and they're much better in the bullpen. But I think about that trade they made right at the start of the offseason where they take on Cano's contract. They go out and they get Edwin Diaz, and they give up top prospects to do so. I mean, you think about the money they're putting into Robbie Cano. I'd much rather have a Manny Machado or a Bryce Harper on my team, or I'd much rather have a Kimbrel or an Ottavino or Robertson, a Miller, whoever the free agent reliever of choice may be. And I think about the Mets, and I say they're a better team, but in this loaded National League East, Jason, have the Mets done enough in your eyes to be a team that we should expect to be playing October baseball?
I don't know if I would expect it because the division is so loaded. I really think, and I wrote this the other day in my spring preview column, that this is the only division in the whole sport where this winter you had four teams going for it, trying to win. And, you know, I did a poll of 30 executives, scouts, managers, coaches, and the Mets came up as the most improved team in the National League, showed up on almost every single ballot. So they are significantly better. But are they a lock to win a division? I feel like they're almost an identical range of where you could expect the Phillies and the Nationals and the Braves to be. And as always, they're just dependent on the health of this rotation to do its thing. I don't know how many years we've started the season and said the same stuff, but we're saying the same stuff.
Jason, CC Sabathia announced at Yankee camp, and this is not a shock. I mean, I think everybody was of the understanding that 2019 was going to be his last season. And look, it's amazing to me that we're sitting here 11 years after the fact, CC Sabathia signed that big money deal, coming over from the Milwaukee Brewers, and he's still out there doing his thing. And I get it. He's not the horse. He's not the number one starter he once was. But I mentioned this at the start of the show. You think about the way baseball is played now. Guys not going as deep into games. The idea of a pitcher winning 300 games is going to be so tough to accomplish, so tough to do. And you look at CeCe, he has a Cy Young. He has a very good ERA on the surface. Jason, do you think we're looking at a Hall of Fame-bound pitcher when it's all said and done?
You know, I've thought a lot about this. CeCe, statistically, I think is right on that line. You know, as you said, he's got the Cy Young. He's got 254 wins in an era where we might not see that again. He's 101 games over 500, which tells you he's a winner. He's got the big postseason moments. He's got a big presence in more ways than one. And, you know, there's something about this guy that seems like the stats don't quite tell you what he was. When I think about 2008, I know that's the year before he got to New York, but what he did after he went to the Brewers still gives me chills. He made four straight starts on short rest down the stretch and in October. You think we're ever going to see that again? So I don't know how I'm going to vote. I don't know how people are going to vote, but I would hope that CeCe is a guy who at least stays on the ballot for a long time if he doesn't get elected.
The great Jason Stark. Check him out in The Athletic. Check him out on the MLB Network. And obviously, Jason, Yankee fans can be spoiled at times. And I know a lot of Yankee fans are used to that old school mentality of we need to have everything. So I would take a lot of calls on Bryce Harper. I'd take a lot of calls on Manny Machado. And you know what, Jason? I'm A-okay with their offseason without either one of those guys. Because I think about Paxton. I think about bringing back Jay Happ, who's a pro. Bullpen with Ottavino and Britton. I think LeMahieu, considering the lineup has so many all-or-nothing type hitters, to get a guy with some versatility, could put the bat on the ball, is going to be a good defender. It's a really good move. So do you think the Yankees have had a high-quality offseason, even though they haven't landed one of those two big fish items?
I don't think there's any doubt. You know, I mentioned that spring preview column that I wrote the other day. And the 30 executives that I polled, the Yankees almost ran the table. They were almost unanimous. And the incredible thing was once you got past the Yankees, almost two-thirds of the people who voted could not come up with even three teams in the entire American League that got better over the winter. It's hard to believe, isn't it? And, you know, I don't know that we can definitively say that the Yankees have now passed the Red Sox. Some of that is up to the Red Sox. It's hard to project any team's going to win 100 games again. But the Yankees they're built for the long haul and they're built for the short haul. They can score so many different ways. They might have the best bullpen in baseball history. They've got versatility. I mean, the only question I've got about their team is Tulo and whether Troy Tulowitzki can play. And even if he doesn't, they can cover it. They can just slide Glaber over to shortstop, and LeMahieu's a tremendous second baseman. And then Didi comes back at some point. You know, if they stay even remotely healthy, they're a team without a weakness.
Totally agree with that, Jason. And I know right now you're spending some time at Giants camp. And to me, the Giants is one of those fascinating teams because we know how much success they've had in a decade. They have the three world championships. Last couple of years have been ugly. They tried bringing in some veterans last year. It didn't work out. McCutchen got traded. Longoria did not perform. Now you're hearing, are they in on Bryce Harper? Are they not in on Bryce Harper? And I wonder, Jason, if they don't end up getting Harper, do they strike you as the sort of team that would be your prototypical seller at this year's trade deadline when you have a guy like Bumgarner that every team in baseball who's in contention, especially one here in New York, would love to add to the top half of their rotation?
Oh, I mean, they're totally set up to be a humongous seller, maybe the biggest seller at the deadline. I mean, look, they've got a problem with payroll, and it's going to make it challenging for Farhan Zaidi to try to move many of these contracts if he doesn't get creative. But he's one of the most creative executives in the whole sport. So they're just a fascinating team to me. Like, they're the team the Yankees never really became, right? I mean, the Yankees, I know they played in one of the last 15 World Series, but they've been a contender every one of those years. They never got to the point where they were overextended with so many older players and contracts that they couldn't maneuver with, that they couldn't compete. But the Giants have reached that place now these last 2 years, and this year shapes up as more of the same. And, you know, one thing you've noticed in the last week is Farhan Zaidi bringing in a bunch of players, veteran players, on minor league, one-year deals. And if any of them get hot, he can move them too at the deadline. So, you know, maybe they surprise. I don't see how they sign Bryce. I don't see Bryce taking a short deal with a huge AAV. That would really shock me given what I think is out there. But assuming that doesn't happen, hard to see the Giants contending. And so it's easy to see them being the most interesting seller because of just the big names on their roster.
Jason Stark of The Athletic and the MLB Network. And Jason, I can't believe I've chatted with you for about 10 to 12 minutes and I've not gotten a prediction on record for when Machado and Harper are playing. I mean, it's remarkable to me, Jason. You think about every other sport. If you have Kyrie and Durant and Leonard out on the open market, they're going to be signed within 5 days of their free agency period. The NFL, all their big stars, they're going to sign immediately. It's a two-fold question here. One, how big of a problem does baseball have here with their whole dynamic of big-time players and big-ticket items not receiving free agent contracts? I mean, going this late, this stage of the game. And then two, Jason, I know you're probably sick and tired of answering this question. Where are Manny Machado and Bryce Harper going to be playing baseball opening day of 2019?
All right, let's let the suspense hang there for a minute. Let's answer the first question first. This is a really frustrating problem, not just for the sport, but for people who love the sport. And I wrote about this recently in The Athletic. If you go back a few years and look at the effect that signing a major star can have on a team, we've lost that. The Giants, when they signed Barry Bonds, their attendance went up. You know how much it went up, JJ? By over 1 million people in 1 year. And, you know, you mentioned the NBA. We just saw it. LeBron becomes a free agent at midnight, and he's signed by dinner. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's, you know, that's excitement. And you can build emotion and excitement in your fan base and around your sport with your offseason. The baseball offseason used to be the best of the offseasons. Now it's the worst. And this has to be addressed short-term and long-term, and I hope that happens sooner, not later. Where do I think Bryce and Manny are going? Let me start by this. No one knows. Anyone who tells you they know is lying, is making it up. No one knows. But my best guess is Manny to the Padres, Bryce Harper to the Phillies. I just hope it's not like May.
You and me both, Jason, because I'm getting sick and tired of answering questions from New Yorkers trying to figure out where these guys are going to go. So that makes two of us. You're the best. I appreciate a couple of minutes. So glad to see you back doing your thing for The Athletic, which is great. I'm a subscriber. MLB Network, you're great. Keep up the good work. We'll do this again at some point throughout the year. All right, Jason?
JJ, enjoyed it, man. Thanks so much.
There you go. The great Jason Stark.